That was heaven. We took a vote, actually drew straws as to who would wear the tie this morning. And I won. So great to be here with you. I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know, if you are even a casual or maybe a sporadic user of Facebook, you've seen from time to time those chain posts that make their way around the internet. You know what I'm talking about. The kind that says, let's see who my friends really are. They're the ones who will share this chain letter. And I always read those and I think, well, I probably would have shared it when I was in junior high school. But I'm one of those who consistently and defiantly breaks the chain. The chief deacon of one church received one of those posts. It read, and I quote, "If you are tired of your preacher, then share this post with seven other churches who are probably tired of their preachers. Then ship your preacher to the church at the top of the list. Add the name of your church to the bottom. In 30 days, you will receive 2,178 preachers, and out of these, many of you ought to be able to choose one to suit you." Warning. One church broke the chain and got their old preacher back. Well, for better or for worse, all three of our churches will most likely get their old preacher back next week. But I kind of wish we could do this every Sunday, amen? And on behalf of our church, we are honored to be a part of this combined service. So I'd like to thank Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Jonathan and Dr. Julie for their part in putting this all together. Thank you for the opportunity also to share the word of Christ with you today. You know, there's a debate in America as to the state of the church. Some would say it is stagnant. Others, irrelevant. Naysayers claim the church is on the decline. And yet some local bodies are thriving. And this morning with our three churches combining to pray and to worship and song and to witness the testimonies of what Jesus Christ has done and what He is continuing to do in our neighborhoods, we are showing the world that the church is alive and well. And whether or not a church or a denomination is growing or declining, there is no doubt we face a determined adversary who seeks to hinder the increase, the maturation, and the progress of the church. We need to recognize the enemy, identify his ability to attack us, and take necessary steps to change it. And if we do, instead of declining, all three churches and the church universal will advance and thrive. And of course, the key is discipleship. Here's the bottom line of all of this. When discipleship is weak or lacking, the church will face decline. Over the next several weeks in Hope Now Bible Church, I hope to examine a biblical approach to discipleship in an effort to equip our local body of believers to effectively follow Jesus Christ and disciple others. But today is for us all. And I want to consider an invitation Jesus made to two of His disciples. It's found in the passage you've turned to, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. His statement is not difficult to understand. It is simple, yet profound. Look with me at the presentation of His call in verse 19. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Do you like being invited and being a part of something? It's always nice when people invite me to go somewhere or do something. Of course, the older I get, I usually say no. In all four Gospels, Jesus invited people to follow Him. Follow me. Jesus offered a simple invitation to Simon Peter and Andrew. It was a figurative call. Jesus uses here, follow me. He is exhorting them. He is encouraging them. He is calling them. In more simple terms, the phrase Jesus uses is come here or come on. It's the same phrase that he uses to call us all when he states in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, Jesus is saying, come on, you can do it. Why would you even consider not following me? Follow me. And what is more captivating about this particular invite in this verse is there is nothing special about these two men. They weren't part of the upper class of society. They didn't have college degrees. Perhaps they didn't even bathe regularly. We might even assume they were crusty, rough, manly fishermen. They were not concerned about pricking their finger with a fish hook or breaking a nail or being offended. And I don't want to read into the Bible, but I was a sailor on a ship in my teenage days, and I know what men of the sea are like. Me excluded, they are not wusses and they are not wimps. No doubt they swear every once in a while. Jesus would work with them on that later. And yet, despite their pedigree, Jesus invited them to follow him. He came to them and extended the call. And Jesus today comes to ordinary people where they are, and he invites them to follow him. It's likely that Peter and Andrew were already believers in the Messiah. They had been looking for the Messiah to come. And while our text doesn't show it, John chapter 1, verse 1 describes in more detail Andrew running to find his brother Simon Peter and blurting out, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. They already believed. They were looking for the Messiah to come. Today, we have believed in the Messiah who has come, and we look forward and anticipate his return. But now Jesus is calling out to these brothers to follow him. And this call of Jesus is for those who believe, for those who are saved. And like Simon Peter and Andrew, Jesus invites you to follow him. Jesus not only invites you, he expects you to follow him. And as Jesus was invited Peter and Andrew to follow him, he fully expected them to do so. They believed in the Christ. He did not expect them to debate or hesitate in following. And these were not idle men. They were busy, engaged in the work of their own lives. But the Lord invited them to follow him in pursuit of his divine plan. And Jesus offers this same call to those of you who believe. The call to follow him. Be careful, beloved, that you don't view this invitation of Jesus as something to pursue or consider at a later time. The call to discipleship is being extended today. The Lord expects us to heed the call. He doesn't invite us to consider joining his work or delaying such a pursuit to a more convenient time, maybe when it's a bit cooler. He mentions nothing about taking time to pray about the matter. He's calling today for us as a church to follow him. And he fully expects us to respond in obedience to him. You know, the great reformer John Calvin in the 16th century was not an outgoing person by nature, Tyler. He was kind of a shy one. But he recognized that God always placed him in situations beyond his limits. And he realized, as he said in his own words, that he needed to get into the game. Following Jesus is getting in the game, and it is the obligation of the Christian. Follow me. See, the call was not extended for their consideration. Jesus had spoken, and they were obligated to follow. Now, Jesus would not have forced them if they were unwilling, but they were obligated to respond favorably to the call. Perhaps there are many, maybe you, sitting in your pew today, who likely feel that the call is reserved for pastors, or for deacons, or for Sunday school teachers, or for others in leadership positions. Someone else can obey the call. It's not for me. Jesus is calling every believer to follow him. And if we desire to live within the will of God, we must follow him. It's the basis for our service to Christ. As believers, we have an obligation to follow the Lord wherever he leads. And so the call to follow Jesus is presented in our text in two simple words: follow me. But the call also provides and calls for a particular preparation. Look how Jesus continues: follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There are three things we should consider here. First is the authority of the one calling. Peter and Andrew had not received an invitation from an ordinary man. It was no ordinary man standing on that beach. They would be called by one who had involved them in labor unlike any that they had ever known. And later, these men would die because they heeded the call to follow Christ. Tradition tells us they were both crucified. Peter was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be killed in the same manner as his Lord. Andrew, we are told, traveled to the land of the man-eaters, what we know as Russia today. Christians in Russia claim Andrew as the first to bring the gospel there. He too was crucified. Why would they follow a man to their death? Well, Jesus was not just another villager who desired assistance. He was the eternal God-man, fully God, fully man. Their work would not be dependent upon their abilities or their wisdom or the wisdom of a mere mortal. He would equip them to not only work for him, but to die. The Son of the living God is calling you to follow him, and he will equip you for any work that lies ahead. Today we're going out into our neighborhood as followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray for those we come in contact with. Some here may be afraid, but be emboldened by the fact that the living God is with you. And he is already preparing the way for you. You are not going out alone. Beloved, we need not fear failure or resign to defeat. The reason you are here today is because the Lord himself has called you into the work of discipleship, and he can be depended upon. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, as Peter and Andrew followed the Lord, he promised to make them fishers of men. And I hope you see the significance here. In order to be effective in the work that they were called to perform, they would have to depend on Jesus. They didn't currently possess the ability to be successful, and it would never happen apart from the working of the Lord. And as he worked in their lives, making them fishers of men, they would be used of the Lord in great and mighty ways. This is likely one of the greatest hindrances in the church today. We are not dependent on the Lord. This fundamental principle has never changed, and it never will. We cannot go into the neighborhood today in our own strength. We'll have no power if we go into the neighborhood with the idea that we're just doing a good social deed. Any group can go into the neighborhood and pick up trash. But we are not any group. We are the church of the Messiah, the living God, the Christ. And as the song proclaims, He will fight beside us. Though the enemy is great, who can stand against us? He's the captain of our fate. We remain dependent upon the Lord for wisdom and strength. And if our lives are to be effective in discipling others, we will be fruitful through the power of the Lord. He will make us as it pleases Him. He'll work on us as it pleases Him, using us for His glory to the good of others. But don't be discouraged if you're fearful to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to follow Him. Not everyone steps out and follows Christ and becomes a spiritual giant immediately. In a parallel passage, Mark reveals their becoming fishers of men was not immediate. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "And Jesus said to them, Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." As they obediently followed Jesus Christ, walking with Him and learning from Him, they would become fishers of men. They did not currently possess the wisdom or the ability to be fishers of men. This would require time and commitment. In order to be an effective disciple, we have to continue to follow Jesus, growing in our faith and maturing in Him. And that means reading the Word, attending a Bible teaching church every Sunday. Our walk with the Lord and service to Him is a continual process. It's a progression. The longer we walk with Him, the more like Him we become. The more like Him we become, the more we desire to please Him. Through committed fellowship and obedience, we grow in our faith and we become, beloved, fishers of men. You don't have to be completely mature to disciple others. But if you're not growing in your faith, you'll be unable to effectively disciple others in the faith. And maybe today, as we spread out as the church in this neighborhood, in this awful heat that Jeremy lied about, this will be the first step of discipleship for you. Discipleship is a continual growing process in the lives of obedient believers. But there's a priority to this call. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus revealed that He would make them fishers of men. Now notice how Jesus metaphorically speaks to Peter and Andrew. See, they understood the concept of fishing. They made their living fishing on the Sea of Galilee, which some of you will be on next year. They would continue to fish, but now they'd be fishing for men. They had been zealous and committed to the business of catching fish, but Jesus wanted them to take that process now and have that same zeal in service to Him. And I think that it would be safe to say that everyone here in this room understands the concept of fishing. A net or a line is cast into the water with the hope of catching fish. That's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of the pursuit. Otherwise, it'd just be called sitting. And I know some who really enjoy going out in nature. But most of them hope to catch something if they're going to go to the trouble of fishing. The net or the line is cast, and once a fish is secured and brought to shore, as believers, we are to be about the business of fishing in the same way. And that's what the Lord has called each of us to do as we serve Him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. See, Peter and Andrew, they understood the actual importance of engaging in the casting of the net if the fish were to be caught. Simply thinking of fishing and hoping to catch fish wouldn't be profitable. It wouldn't work. They were called to active service, fishing for men. It sounds elementary, but if we expect to be successful in fishing, we have to engage in fishing. You'll never catch anything as long as the boat is in your driveway and you're merely contemplating fishing. You have to get to the water where the fish are and actively pursue catching fish. And the same is true with our work for the Lord. We'll never reach the lost or disciple another believer apart from engaging in their lives. And we can use a fish finder, and we can see schools of fish below our boat, but that fish finder is useless unless we drop a line. Knowing how or where are not enough. We must actively engage in fishing. And look where Jesus puts the emphasis. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now Peter and Andrew were professional fishermen. But now their emphasis would change. They would continue to fish, but instead of seeking to catch fish, they would be fishing for men and women. Their pursuit would have similarities, but the emphasis would change. They would be used of the Lord to reach those who had yet to come to know Him. And this would now be the priority in their lives. And we need to grasp the significance of the call to follow Jesus. He has called us to a lifelong work. And while we engage in other pursuits in order to survive physically, our emphasis in life should be on fishing for men. If those apart from Christ are to be reached, and those who are in Christ discipled in the faith, we must be about the business of fishing. Each day we must seek opportunities to fish. And this is going to require seeking out new fishing holes, stepping out of the comfort of our favorite little fishing spot in order to be effective. One thing is certain, we'll catch nothing if we aren't fishing. And so, beloved, in conclusion, as we close this morning, the call is very simple, and yet most never respond. Do you want our churches to grow? You do, because you're here today. It's just a beautiful sight to see. Do you sense the need for action on our part? I think you do. Are you willing to follow Jesus and allow Him to equip you to reach those in need? See, we need obedient disciples to reach the unsaved and invest in the lives of young believers. Just imagine how powerful for Jesus Christ this block in Fresno will be with our three churches fishing for men. But you can't be a fisher of men apart from salvation. And maybe there's some today who have never believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life as the way, the truth, and the life. Today is the day of salvation. You can believe today. Jesus died for your sins, and He wants to save you. And so He says, believe in me, and you will have eternal life. Jesus seeks those who realize their need for salvation, who respond to Him not by works, but by faith alone. If He has spoken to you, then believe today. And then, as we go out today to love our neighbors for just an hour or so, with Jesus right beside us, as followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, remember that Jesus has called you. He is with you. He wants us all to be fishers of men. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we pledge today to be obedient to your call. We will follow you to our depths if it means we can reach men and women with the gospel of everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen.